we're going to get into the Word of God here just for a little while. And I'm going to be venturing into about three different sections of Scripture, three different areas of Scripture. and I'm going to preach something that I've dabbled in some of these areas before, but not here. And I'm going to preach just for a little while on a seems like a bit of a solemn topic. But I rest assured if you hear me out, you'll understand why I'm going this direction today. I think we need to hear more of this when it comes to our society today. How many knows we live in a dark world? There is more people today on medication for depression than ever before. There is more people taking things to try to get them out of bed, and then when they lay their head down, to get them to go to sleep. We're living in a society that's really, really mixed up, messed up, and fighting things that I think is bigger than just medicine. I think it's bigger than just problems. I believe it's a spiritual oppression of the devil that's fighting mankind today. And I think the church, if as ever the church was the church, we need the church to be the church today. And I'm going to preach just for a little bit about that. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Then we're going to be going to Romans chapter 1. Then we're going to Psalms chapter 1. I'm going to dabble a little bit in each one as we go. But first we're going to 1 Samuel chapter number 1, verse number 27. If we could stand for the reading of the Word of God. I apologize, we don't have it on the overhead today. We'll be back on track with that next week, I'm sure. Verse number 27 of chapter number 2 of 1 Samuel. Everybody there? 1 Samuel chapter number 2, verse 27 reads like this. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Now notice this. This prophet of God looks at the man of God and he asks him a question. He said, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not? Basically is what he's saying. In verse 28 and said, Did I choose him out all of the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer up on mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire and of the children of Israel? Therefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offerings, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me. Notice this. He said, You are taking something that I have blessed you with, and you have placed my blessing above my commandment. That's a very dangerous thing to do. He says, To make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me will be lightly esteemed. And behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, and there shall not be an old man in thy house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation and on the wealth which God shall give Israel. And there shall not be an old man in thy house forever. And the man of thine whom I shall cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart. And all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And thou shalt come upon thy two sons on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. I'm glad the story did not end there. Judgment was coming to the house of God in this scripture. It was a place that Eli had gone into territory that he had chosen to keep silent. He had chosen to not lift a hand and not lift a voice to protect the things of God. And he allowed his children to run rampant in the house of God and do things that they were not supposed to do. But then in verse 35, he says, I will raise up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house. He shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread. I'm going to preach just for a little while as you're turning to Psalms chapter number 1. I'm going to preach just for a little while on this topic. Silence is deadly. Silence is deadly. Psalms chapter number 1. If we quickly can turn there. Verse number 1 reads like this. Everybody read it with me if we could. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But this his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit. Notice this, in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But notice verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Notice it separates from the grain. The chaff is blown asunder. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I'm going to ask us to pray at this time, and we're going to preach just for a little while on silence is deadly. Dear Lord, we love you, and we ask you to step into this congregation today. Let your anointing reach down. I pray that something inside of us would well up, God, that we would get a burden, that we would get a desire. We could recognize the state of this world. We could recognize the value of the church and how needed we are in this time and in this season of living that we are in today. In Jesus' name we pray. Help me to do a good job for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There's an old saying that says, silence is golden. We've often heard that stated, we've often heard that said, that silence is a beautiful thing. There's something about silence that drives people crazy, if you want to call it. There is a eerie, so a lot of people will say there's an eerie silence in the room. There's something that's not normal about silence. Silence is something that it can be go two ways. Sometimes a man needs to sit around and break away from the world and break away from the things of society for a little while and ease his mind. And sometimes silence can do that. But silence can be piercing at times. That's a kind of a opposite if you want to look at it in that way. But silence is something that even though there is nothing around, if I were to take and turn that fan switch off on that furnace, turn the fans off, turn the PA system off, until everything in here was dead silent, how many would want to come to this church? There was no life, just silence all the time. Silence is not something that people resonate to. Silence is something that they will sneak up on an individual. And I was a young man. As a young man, when I would lay down to go to bed at night, I don't know if any of you are like me, but I would turn on a radio, or I would turn on my headphones, or I would listen to, I don't know if any of you listen to classical music or jazz music or any of that kind of stuff, but I would turn on 88.1 and listen to jazz of smooth jazz, if you want to call it, as I would lay down and go to sleep at night. And I had to have a racket in my ears as I would go to sleep. I couldn't, if I were to lay there on my pillow at night and just complete silence. You ever been there and you hear the creak of the door and you hear the pop of the roof and the temperature changes and you hear everything that goes on? And even though it's silent, it's really not, because every little creak, every little thing, and the wind begins to blow outside, and you hear every little thing that's going on around you. And silence is not often something that we adapt to very well. Today's generation, they want no silence. They put things in their ears that is a constant beat. It's a constant drum. It's the rap music of today. It's the things that are constantly going. And the attention span of young people today, they say, is shorter than it's ever been. Literally, if they are, and I don't sit and do this, but if they were to sit and watch the latest sitcoms, literally constantly there was a direction change within every 10 to 15 seconds. Something is completely changing, because the attention span of the children moves so fast today that it's constant going, a moving, and the minds of children to sit in focus for a period of time, it's very difficult for children of today. We're in a very fast-paced society. But if we are not very careful, and I'm going to move in and get into a little deeper stuff now, but if we are not careful in today's society, even within the church, with a fast-paced society and the constant barrage of the things that are coming into the minds of individuals, if we're not careful that we are coming in and turning on the furnace and hooking up computers and hooking up the stuff, the organ, and making sure the keyboard's working right and making sure the drumsticks are there and all of the hustle and bustle of seeing to it that the work of God is coming to pass. If we are not careful, there are things that are going to slip its way into the church and slip its way into the body of Christ and slip its way into our paths that we never saw coming. And eventually there are things that are going to creep into the church that we must be very careful that we won't recognize them until it's too late. I will say one of those things that probably caught all churches, United Pentecostal Church, all organizations by surprise, was the internet. The internet is one of those things that I contend is probably more deadly even than a television could ever be in a life. Because there is so much more open, vast of World Wide Web that can slip into an individual. But it slipped into the church because everybody's got it on their phone. Everybody's got it. Now we just have to learn to adapt to it and how to protect ourselves from it, because it's there. To go back and try to live in a third world society and reverse everything is almost impossible. Literally, bylaws and things had to change within all organizations to try to adapt to this quickly changing. Literally, the internet is changing at such a rapid pace that it's difficult by the time you write an opinion on something, it's already changed. It's something different now altogether. There's a whole nother source. They have literally, on your cell phone, they have things that can track your heart rate. They can track your how many calories you burned in a day. They've got a wristband watch that can literally track the health of your body 24/7. That is amazing to me. But in the fast-paced technology, in the fast-paced, all of those things that are coming and fighting us, we must be careful and we must be cautious as a church that those things don't slip into our lives to our demise. Because it's easy for us to sit back and go through life and go through the motions and pretend those things don't exist when they really do. And we must understand that we must protect our mind, we must protect our thoughts, we must protect everything that's coming into this fleshly body. Because what comes into this fleshly body has the potential to destroy us. And it's very easy for us to sit in silence. Now I'm going to pick on the church just a little bit. As things start to slip into the church more and more and more and more, until eventually we won't recognize the church as it is today. I'm concerned about that as a pastor. And I have an added advantage that most pastors don't have. And you say, what is that? I'm building a church from ground up. So I can nurture this church and grow this church and teach this church and explain to this church why it's necessary that we follow the biblical values and why it's passionate that we are passionate about the lost and we reach into the world. And I hope you've noticed the last couple of weeks how I've tried to impact you. The fact that our giving to those that are in need is of high importance. Because there are people that are truly in need. Even though society reaches out to those people, the church should not sit on the sidelines and wait for the government to come pick up what the church should be doing. It's important that we as a church recognize the fact that God intended the church to be the help to those that are truly in need. And it's important for us to understand that. And I understand we can't help everybody. I understand there's certain things that we have limitations. I will tell you guys as a church, or you folks as a church, we gave away more last month than we've ever given away. Because I thought it was needed. And I felt it was something that needed to be done. And we've never went into a phase where I've really pushed us and told us, you know, a giving is of utmost importance to the needy and the lost and those that are in need. But I have watched, even as this congregation, as small as it may be here today, has jumped on board to that giving and saw the need and jumped on and given money that was above and beyond the extra and jumped in to help in situations. And that is powerful to me, because you know what that tells me as a pastor? That tells me that you as a church are catching the vision. You're moving into that realm of saying, you know what, pastor is casting the vision. I want to be a part of what God is doing. And that is important, because that tells me we are in one mind and one accord. And when that happens as a church body, not every pastor has that opportunity to be able to grow a church and try to instill the biblical principles into a church. When you step into a church that's already exists, you walk into a church that someone else has put everything into that church. And to reround that church and to redirect that church, that's almost sometimes an impossible process. Because what's put into a person is sometimes very difficult to change. You know, I've heard the old saying, it's difficult to teach a dog new tricks. It's not easy to also teach saints once things have crept into the church that you know what, you got to protect yourself from those things. But on all of that said, we must understand. And I'll just say this, I'm very cautious, because everything I preach goes on the internet, and I know that. So I have to be very cautious. I watch what I preach because I don't want to offend people, but I want to preach the truth. And I believe even on the internet, they need to hear the truth. I believe that. But we must be very, very careful. If you watch the signs of a dying church, can I tell you the number one sign from this preacher of a dying church? Everybody's anticipating, well, we're going to see if we're a dying church or not. What is the number one thing of a dying church? It's when they become silent about their church. You say, what do you mean? You're not excited to bring someone to church with you. Think about this. You're not excited. You become discontent. You become not real comfortable. It's one of those things where you find fault with a little bit of everything. And pretty soon, you know what? You don't have the best church in town, because you don't believe you have the best church in town. And you know what? I'm not going to bring anybody, because I don't feel we have a very good church anymore. And that attitude will become contagious. And it will infect an entire congregation. And you know what? Babies will no longer be born in those churches. Why? Very simply this, because they don't believe they can. The number one element to living for God is you got to believe. And if you believe this is not Pastor Smith's church, you believe this is God's church, this should be the most exciting, this should be the most passionate thing in your life, is the church of God. It should be something that you live, eat, breathe, and every time you're talking something good about something, it should be about the church that I go to. Because it's not just a church of people. That's the body of Christ. It's bigger than us. It's not Pastor Smith, and it's not his preaching, but it's the anointed word of God that come across the pulpit that begins to penetrate a life that's hurting and begins to change a soul and transform a life. But when a church becomes silent, they become a dead church. I'm not talking about they sit in church and don't say nothing. I'm talking about when they go outside those walls, they have nothing good to tell people about their church. And that silence can be deafening and very, very deadly to a church. So you say, why are you telling this to us, Pastor? I'm telling you that for this reason. If you've ever bragged about anything in your life, it better not be about how fast you can run, and most of us are past that now. It better not be how high you can jump, and most of us are past that now. But it better be what God's doing in His kingdom. This should be the most passionate, exciting thing in your world. When you're at the grocery store and you hear somebody mumbling and grumbling about their church, you know what you need to say? Well, you haven't visited mine. And I'm not a fan of the of Facebook and all that stuff. But you know what? When somebody's grumbling about things that are going on Facebook about their church, you know what the first thing you need to do? Well, you've never visited my church because I got the best church in the world. And you know what? That can become quite contagious. And you know what? People are going to want what you have because they've never seen a church like that. You know why? Because people that put those things out there have become bitter and they've become silent. And you know what? Everything about God and half of the problem to winning people today, and I understand my congregation today, half the problem with winning people today is to convince them that your church is different. Because they lump, once a person is hurt, they lump all churches together. But that's not the case. We understand the church is made up of people. And people are going to make mistakes. People are going to do things that are going to offend us. People are going to upset us. The preacher's going to step on our toes one Sunday. Guaranteed. Because when you preach every Sunday, you're bound to hit somebody somewhere sometime. It just happens. Besides that, the anointing of God speaks to a man of God. And you know what? Sometimes we need our toes stepped on. Sometimes we get comfortable. And you know what? Sometimes we get carnal. Or am I the only one that thinks like that sometimes? But carnality is not good. But we as the body of Christ and as the church of Christ, looking at the society that we are living in today, churches getting the negative comments that they have upon them today, we as the body of Christ need to stand up and break the silence. We as a body of Christ need to stand up and say, you know what? Everybody in Winnemac may be church hopping. Well, if you hop to my church, it's different. I have the best church in the city. I have the best church because it's not a church made of people. Yes, it is. The body is made of people, but the head of this thing is not a man, it's God. And when you get God at the helm of that thing, you know what? It gets a whole lot better because lives can be changed, families can be put back together, things can look different, things can act different simply because of one reason, because the Spirit of God is moving through that church. I get quite concerned in today's society when I'm talking politics with individuals. And they say, you know what? All government is just corrupt. Well, do we just throw in the towel and say, just cash in on America and the American dream? I believe the church needs to stand up and say, you know what? We are still one nation under God. And there are still some people that believe in God in this country. There are still some people that believe that the nation of the United States of America is not going backwards. We are going forwards. The only difference is very simply this. The ones that are getting all the news printed media and the ones that are getting out there are the minute few that want to stir the pot. But there are a whole lot of Americans out there that still believe in God, that still believe that God came and died and saved this world from its mess. I don't believe we should participate in all the negativity. I believe we need to break the silence instead of sitting idly by and say, you know what? We're better than that. And if my people, which are called by my name, do we still believe that? Would humble themselves and call on Him and forsake those things that they were doing and change their life and repent and get a hold of God. He would reach in and save their world and change their world. If there ever was a day we as a church need to stand up and let the world know that God is bigger than that. There's an old song out of this old songbook that I had gotten here some time ago. And the song simply states this. It's called A Beautiful Life. And it says, each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. To be a child of God each day, my life must shine along the way. I'll sing His praise while ages roll and strive to help some troubled soul. The only life that will endure is the one that's kind and good and pure. And so for God, I'll take my stand. Each day I'll lend a helping hand. I'll help someone in time of need and journey on with a rapid speed. I'll try to turn the night to day and make flowers bloom along the way. While going down life's weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. I'll help the sick and poor and weak, and words of kindness to them speak. Everything that's been put in to churches, if you think about the years gone by, probably when these gentlemen were kids, there was churches being carved out like this that nobody would rent them a building because they were them Pentecostals. They were the crazy folks. And they would have to have street meetings. And the tomatoes would get thrown, and people would pull the stakes on their tents, and all of the normal things that would happen. I thank God we don't have to fight those things. I thank God that He has gone before us, and He has prepared our way, and we are able to do things that we never thought we would ever see happen this quickly. We are able to see those things come to pass, and God is doing, and God is going before us, and He is preparing our way. But in the midst of Him preparing our way, I challenge us not to get blinded and blindsided by the devil and start to be silent about what God is doing in our church and not get blindsided with letting the things of this world start to trickle its way into our lives just by being too comfortable around the things of God. Yeah, we don't have a Wednesday night service yet, and trust me, it is coming. But there are things that having one service a week, it's very difficult simply because it's a long time from Sunday to Sunday, but that doesn't stop us from being a Christian. And because of that span, it causes us as a church to have to pray more and fast more and think about God more and spend more time with God on a daily personal basis. And we must protect those things. But in spite of all those things, I challenge us as a church to not grow silent. because silence is what? Silence is deadly. The book of James 5:19 says, "Brethren, if any man do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from what? Death. And shall hide a multitude of sins." It's important to understand that breathing a little positive light into all that negativity very well may be what snaps that person into reality. And did you ever think it could save that soul from hell? Did you ever dream that standing at Walmart in line, you have the potential of saving someone's life? Not of a heart attack. And I hope if they fall over with a heart attack, you do give every effort to try to save them. But the reality is, you don't know what that person was going through. Have you ever noticed it's very easy for us as individuals to go by a situation and pretend it doesn't exist? Or am I the only one that likes to do that sometimes? Just pretend you didn't see it and just kind of go on. Pretend you didn't hear it and just kind of go on. Pretend it's really not there when it really is. But we as the church of God, we as the body of Christ, if there's ever a day we need to break our silence, it's today. When you have churches literally endorsing the fact that marriage is between a man and a woman, and they're endorsing something that's opposite of that. Not in the world, but in churches. I think it's time the church break its silence and say, you know what? That is error from the truth, and the Bible does not bear that out. The Bible says that marriage is between a man and a woman, and a man would cleave to his wife, and the two would be one. It is still biblical. It is still right to endorse those things and look at those things and protect those things as a church, because if we're not careful, it'll slip its way in to the apostolic church. And we'll wonder what happened when it's too late. We must be careful, because silence is deadly. What causes silence? You ever think about that? What causes silence? Silence is a void of sound. It's a void of noise. Did you know if a person loses its ability to hear, they soon will lose their ability to speak? Now that's an interesting thought, isn't it? When you're talking about the church, if we start to no longer hear what's being preached over this pulpit, we will also lose our ability to speak about the things of God. If we start getting to where we've heard this message over and over, and we've heard this message, pastors preached that last year, and I remember it. If we get to where, you know what, I've heard this gospel message, I could preach that message. I've heard it so many times, I could repeat it back to the preacher. It becomes old hat to us, and we turn the switch off in our ears and say, you know what? I came, and I'm doing my duty. Amen, preacher. And we don't hear a word he's saying. Anybody ever been there before? And it's all zinging right past our heads. and it's just another message on another Sunday, you know what's going to happen? We'll become silent. And silence will bring death. But not just to the church. How many wants to be a part of a dead church? I don't see many hands jumping into the air when I say who wants to be a part of a dead church. But it doesn't just bring death to the church. But it also brings no life to the city. Think about that. When the church becomes silent, what does this city have for a lighthouse? It's void. There is none. When the church becomes silent in the United States of America, think about this. In the United States of America, when the church becomes silent, it will bring the death of our country as we know it. For one simple reason. When you take out morals, you take out values, you take out loving one another, you take out treating your brother as yourself, loving those that despitefully use you, being kind to those, and we adopt killing those that don't agree with us, and we adopt the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and we adopt that, you know what, everything is right in my own moral eyes, and whatever I deem is right is what is right, and it doesn't matter what the Bible says, you know what our country is going to head down? A deadly road. And the only, I contend this, and I'm closing with this, it's almost 3 o'clock, and I contend this. I know I'm preaching a lot of current affairs today, but I think we need to be abreast on what's going on in our world today. I contend this. If the church ever loses its voice in America, this country is in bad, bad shape. I believe we as a church daily need to pray for our leaders. Need to pray for Congress and the Senate and the President and roll it on down. Pray for this city. Pray for your pastor. You may sound funny, but there may be a day if you want to hear your pastor preach, you're going to have to go down to the jail to hear him preach. You ever think about that? You don't realize how close it really is. Anybody follow the things in Houston? The Houston mayor subpoenaed all 5 churches in Houston. They were standing against some things that were going on in Houston, and she subpoenaed every sermon they had preached as court evidence. You think it's not going to happen? That's in Texas. That wasn't in California. It's bigger than we think. And if the church ever needs to break its silence, it is today. You know what? If you're at the Winter Wonderland next week out here, which I understanding it is going, even though we have not heard anything from anybody. Has anybody seen any advertisements on anything? I have not in the papers. I haven't seen. It hasn't been in the Independent at all. But when we step out into those streets and we get around other individuals, we need to brag about how good God is and what a wonderful thing it is to live for God. And how much God changed us. You ever think about the song that we sing, "When I Think of the Goodness of Jesus and All He Has Done for Me"? It breaks the silence. Think about this. My soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. The only thing that will break the silence is when you start to think about the goodness of Jesus. As we all stand, I'm coming to a close. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's something about being blessed. And I believe we live a blessed, blessed life. I'm going to ask us today, if we could just gather in around the front, as it's just us regular church folks here today. We don't have a lot of visitors here today. I wonder if we could just gather around the front, spend just a few moments as a congregation, and ask God to help us, to give us wisdom and understanding of how to not keep our silence, but stand for God and walk with God and live for God, and to protect ourselves from getting caught up of walking in the counsel of the ungodly and hearing all the negativity, but to protect the purity of our minds. Can we do that right now? Dear Lord, we love you.